You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls his people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin. Good morning. Good morning. This is the front line, and we are on the air. Hey, praise God. If we're not, then call us and tell us you can't hear us. Anyway, we have a wonderful guest today coming in through the phone lines, and we're going to be getting to her in a moment. But first, I am compelled by some federal law or some policy of the FCC to introduce my co-host, which I love to do. It's always great to have. We have a special co-host with us today, too.
Who's might be a familiar voice.
A familiar voice,
familiar,
yes.
Familiar voice, that's right.
And because he's going to introduce our guest today. So, but first, I must say, Ed Skiba, welcome.
Oh, man. Welcome. Amen.
Hallelujah.
What another beautiful South Florida morning.
Amen to that.
I tell you, there's folks out there I like to believe that have been praying for me with my medical situations.
Yes.
And in the last week and a half so, my doctor has changed my meds, and I feel like I've been a new person. I
Amen.
Am getting around. I'm the shortness of breath of God, and I
you
give all the praise to God.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Praise God. Thank you for all the prayers out there.
Amen.
I really appreciate it.
Well, we keep praying it. You know, and just to say, you know, our guest is going to share with us her story, her testimony of God healing her several times through
Amen.
Her life. But I would say, you know, Ed, for those of you that are new to us, you know, Ed's referring to in last March. It's been almost a year. He was
month.
In the hospital. He died twice.
Right.
In fact, after he came back
the second time.
He's much better now. I told him, I said, look, if we're going to continue to be friends, you're going to have to quit dying. You know, and he did. He hasn't died since. But but that was a real rough time for you. But the Lord was in it and through it.
Amen.
And it's just a powerful, you have a powerful testimony there from that.
Absolutely.
Not to mention your whole life. And then our other regular co-host, and by regular I mean she's here every week pretty much.
I'm a regular.
And right, you are more than regular because you're here on Tuesdays.
Good morning.
As well.
I just want to take a moment to reflect because today is President's Day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Correct.
And that holiday was first established in 1879, and it was to first celebrate George Washington's birthday.
Right.
But now it is to celebrate everyone who is in the White House who has been, especially this year who we have for this term. We are especially excited. Who do we have in the White House, Keith?
We have President Trump.
Yes, yes, yes.
I thought you meant Carolyn Leavitt because I think she's beautiful.
She yeah, is, well, as the White House press secretary.
No question about that.
But yeah. I just want to read Proverbs 14.
And she knows the Lord.
She does.
Amen.
She does.
Amen.
Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So I just want to say that that truth has sustained America for generations, and we're so blessed to have a nation founded in the Lord.
Amen.
And
Amen.
We will declare that it is going to stay of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
As the church stands for this nation and rises up in a time such as this. So happy President's Day.
Happy President's
Amen.
Day.
Same to you.
And then the voice you obviously have heard, whom many of you recognize, because he's not only been on this program a few times as a guest, but he's also a regular co-host on the Biblical Response, which is our Tuesday program that airs at 11.
Yep.
Keith Masters, yep. Keith
morning.
Brother. It's always yep. good to see you.
Good to see you as well, David. How are you?
Man, I couldn't be any better. You know, praise the Lord. You
praise
know?
The Lord.
And so you're, Keith, you're going to introduce our guest today because, well, tell us how you met her and then we'll go and get her involved.
Yeah, so people might know I'm a street witness and I have a calling. I wear Jesus Saves on the back of my shirts. I get them embroidered at a local spot. And it turns out how God works with that on my back, on my shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking into Publix. I walked into Publix, and I was getting ready to just do some small shopping. I had a small basket. And this woman walks in behind me who I didn't see. And she saw the Jesus Saves on my shirt, and she yells out, Jesus Saves. So, of course, I'm going
right.
to turn around. I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to say, okay, what's going on? So I go, and I start talking to her, and I said, you know the Lord? She goes, yes. And she started at that point, as she got excited, telling her story, and her testimony about how she came to know the Lord. And what happened in the middle of Publix was we started comparing notes for mm-hmm. what, you know, how God has changed my life and the testimonies that God has put into my life, delivered me from smoking, drinking, gambling, mm-hmm. alcohol, and just how God works. And we were there, and every couple of minutes, you know, Mary Ann would say, I got to go, I got to go, I got to get going, because she mm-hmm. had stuff to do. But we just kept talking about the Lord, everything. Yeah. It was just so exciting on talking to each other about mm-hmm. God in our life.
Wow.
And, yeah, and the miracles that happened in her life. And for the time that we were there, I'm going to say it was, I don't know, Marianne, do you think maybe about an hour? We were just standing by the door talking about the Lord.
About an hour, right?
Wow. And so before we left, she's like, okay, we got to go. And before we left, we just sat there in the middle of Publix, and we just said a prayer, and it was just absolutely Amen. Awesome. And God is so good.
Amen.
So from that interaction, I asked Mary Ann, I said, you've got to be on WCNO. You've got to be on the radio. You've got to share your testimony. Let people hear how God moves people in their life
Amen.
And the presence Amen. Of God and the love of God, and to take, you know, just his presence and what he does because of his love.
Amen.
So,
and I appreciate you doing that, making the connection. And Mary Ann Adelson is our guest today.
Yeah, this happened back in December.
Back in December.
Back in December. And so I just wanted to bring that out. It's been a while. Mary Ann and I have talked since then.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, and oh, here's the other thing. So Mary Ann, do you remember? And she said that she's just felt that the Lord put it on her heart that she had to share her testimony to a volume of people.
Wow.
And praise God. He opened that door.
Yes. And this is, do you see how God works here, right? And I said, you've got to be on WCNO. You've got to be on the radio. And she said, it's been on my heart to share my testimony to an audience of people. And she's just been envisioning that for how many years, Mary Ann?
Mm-hmm. Oh, a long time. And I spoke to people from different faiths. And they said, well, we're going to invite you to come and speak at our church. But they never did.
Never did. Yeah.
And I waited and waited. And, I mean, compared to 50,000 people who I'm going to talk to now, the little church group is so much more significant. You know, it'll reach a lot more people.
And very likely, Mary Ann, there's four or five times that listening right now.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Thank you for helping me become more nervous.
You know, fear not.
That's right.
You know, we have a potential audience of almost 8 million people in South Florida.
Oh, my goodness.
So, because we're a 100,000-watt station. So, mm-hmm. so I don't know. They don't all listen. If they did, each of you send a dollar, and that'd be great. But we're coming up on our fundraiser. But we
undoubtedly
have at least that many. So, I mean, your story, Mary Ann, is going to touch many, many people. And, you know, you got to know, too, God has preordained certain people, spiritually inspired them to turn on to 89.9 today to listen in, not knowing what they're going to hear.
Yep.
But you're going to share Christ with them, and you're going to share a powerful story of healing. And at the end of this hour, listeners, what you're going to hear is God speaking to you through Mary Ann and saying what she got, I want you to have. I want you to have whatever you need. And I love you that much. So with that, Mary Ann, tell us your God story.
Amen.
Okay. Well, I have to go back to my first marriage. And I was much younger than my first husband. My husband was divorced and had a four-year-old child that I raised as my own son. He was brilliant. He was the son of a doctor at Hartford Hospital and a member of Mensa. He was. Wow. We had a wonderful business. He had an advertising agency, and he did radio, television, and newspaper writings. So we tried very hard to have a child because he was older than I. And finally, I did get pregnant. I was not as educated as he was. I was a hairstylist after high school. I went to a technical school, and I loved my profession, and I was gifted. I really was. I was quite an artist and made a lot of money and made people happy. Mm. And times changed with the gas crunch in the 70s, and business wasn't that good. And my husband never really discussed business with me. And I gave birth to our son, Matthew, on December 25th, 1974.
Christmas baby.
And we named him Matthew because the nativity scene was in the book of Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So that's why we named him that. He lost the business. He lost our business. But somehow he found alcohol. Mm-hmm. And he became an alcoholic and didn't work for 2 years. I was working at JCPenney in the beauty salon and supporting the four of us. After the birth of Matthew, I really wasn't feeling well, and my body wasn't working right. I went to my gynecologist, and he said that I had to go to a specialist. He didn't know what was wrong with me. And at 25, I should have bounced back after the birth of the baby, mm-hmm. which I did not. And my body was acting in an abnormal way in many ways. So they didn't have the CAT scan or the MRI in 1974. So I was sort of a guinea pig at the University of Connecticut Health Center. Mm-hmm. And it took a year from them to determine that I had a brain tumor.
Wow.
And this brain tumor was sitting on top of my pituitary gland, which controls all the glands in the body, the liver, the pancreas, everything, the ovaries, the mammary glands, the everything that you have to live. And it was suppressing them. I started turning yellow in my skin. My eyeballs were getting, I had yellow jaundice because my liver was failing. And my specialist had read an article in the American Journal of the New England Journal of Medicine that a neurosurgeon in Montreal, Canada, that taught at McGill University, invented a special operation for people like me. So I got permission from JCPenney because they had the insurance, and I had no choice. I had a baby that was under a year old and a five-year-old stepson. I had to do something. I was dying slowly. And so I went up there, and I signed all kinds of papers because it was an experiment. Mm-hmm. They built a special operating table for me that looked like a seesaw. My head was down, and my feet were way up in the air. They strapped me in. And the reason that this operation was so new and innovative is they went to my brain through my mouth and through my nasal cavities, and it was an 8-hour operation.
Marianne, they built the operating table specifically for you because this was never done before.
Yes, because an operating table would keep me too flat, and mm-hmm. they had to be able to see in my mouth and my nasal cavity.
Wow.
And that's where showed me. The night before, he showed me the instrument that he developed. It looked like a little ice cream scoop.
Everything
and
was
it had a light on it.
Wow.
You know, this is before, you know, MRIs and all that. And it was a little drill. And he drilled a hole and went straight up into my brain and scooped out the tumor.
Wow.
I can't imagine how scary. I
put my hands in God because I wanted to raise my children. While they were wheeling me on the gurney into the operating room, I said a prayer to myself. I said, please, dear Jesus, save me. Please don't let it be malignant. Mm. Please allow me to live, to raise my children. I promise you, I will go to college, and I will help people for the rest of my life if you save me. And I'm proud to say I have a master's degree, and I've been helping people ever since.
Hallelujah.
Wonderful. Thank you, congratulations.
Jesus.
That's
praise
wonderful.
God.
That was the first miracle. But you care to hear the others.
Oh, oh boy. We can't wait. Phyllis, yeah, tell us.
You just celebrated okay. which birthday as well? Did you just have a birthday? Or
I have experienced six miracles. I will only discuss five with you. Miracle number two. Now I was hired by the State of Connecticut Department of Corrections. And one of my degrees is in drug and alcohol rehab. My dad drank too much, so I focused on that. And so I was a drug and alcohol rehabilitation counselor for the State of Connecticut Department of Corrections. I was always put in maximum security prisons with murderers, rapists, pedophiles, arsonists.
Oh, my gosh.
And they were my members in my AA meeting and NA meeting. I did my internship at the Veterans Hospital in Connecticut, so I knew a lot of veterans, and I got permission from the warden to have veterans come in and talk to the men. And that was a very positive thing, because they really wouldn't open up to me because I was a woman. Yep. But when I started bringing in the vets, they opened up like crazy. Mm. And I was really very successful. I created a rehabilitation program for the State of Connecticut.
Excellent.
Sharon,
Marianne, you were sharing the Lord over there?
Yes, absolutely.
You're right, you were sharing
Jesus. Of course,
Jesus.
AA is founded on faith and helping each other. And, of course, my degree is in that, so I had studied the various things I needed to do to get people to come to terms with their mistakes and correct their mistakes. That life goes on, and God forgives you, you know.
Right. Yes,
so,
he does.
Now, I moved to Florida. I retired from that, and on April 12th, I was managing a beauty salon down here, and I got out of bed quick because my alarm didn't go off and I was going to be late. So I jumped out of bed, and unfortunately I have low blood pressure. I fainted. And the last thing I remember is going to my closet to get clothes to go to work. And I woke up an hour later looking at my ceiling. I had smashed the back of my head on the tile. I cracked my skull. My brain was hemorrhaging, and I had a concussion. I was not aware of any of this. All I knew was that I had a pain in the back of my head. I called my neighbor. She said, "You look terrible. I'm taking you to the emergency room." And this is the clincher of this story. I get to the emergency room, and a neurosurgeon takes an MRI of me and comes into the room and says, you're in critical condition. I'm putting you in a private room with a private nurse. I says, "What's wrong with me?" He said, "I want to know one thing." I says, "What is that, doctor?" He says, "Why am I talking to you?" And now I said, "Doctor, I'm confused as it is. What are you talking about?" He said, "You have a subdural hematoma." He said, Sonny Bono went skiing, bumped his head on a tree, and was dead within an hour. You are the first patient that I have ever known that I can talk to. You should be on the floor in a pool of blood, dead.
Wow.
He says, how is it you survived? And I took my index finger and pointed to the ceiling. I said, "He saved me." And I don't know if the doctor understood what I was saying. I said, "But I'm covered in the blood of Christ.
Wow.
This is not my time to go." It's not. And he said, "I have to stop that hemorrhaging. I'm going to have the nurse shave your hair. I want you to go for another MRI. We're going to operate this morning." I said, "All right." So he goes, and I go and have another image. And now the doctor doesn't come back. I said to the nurse, "Where is he?" He says, "He comes back." He comes back, and he says, "I just canceled your surgery." I said, "What? Why would you do that?"
I could hear this.
He sat. Yeah. He took a chair and sat next to me and said to me, he looked me right in the face, "I don't know what's going on. Medically, scientifically, I can't explain this whole day. Your hemorrhaging stopped on its own."
Praise God.
Look at God.
My second miracle for the day. First, wow. I was saved from getting killed immediately, and now the hemorrhaging stopped on its own.
Hmm. Is that amazing or what?
That's our God.
All right.
This is
three
God.
Three months I had to, no work, couldn't drive a car. But I just celebrated my 77th birthday, so I kept my end of the bargain, and Jesus kept his end of the bargain.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's wonderful. But you're not done. Mary Ann, you're not done. You've got more stories to tell us.
Are you ready for
the third miracle? Yeah, let's go.
Bring it on.
Okay, I had remarried. Which I should have had my head examined. But anyway.
Mary Ann, you just told us the story of having your head examined.
I did have it examined.
That's
right.
Funny.
So I was sitting with my new husband, and we were having dinner, and all of a sudden I keeled over with a pain in my stomach. He said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Oh, it must be gas or indigestion." He says, "Geez, you look sort of pale." I says, "Let's just finish eating." He says, "I think I should take you to the hospital." I says, "Don't even mention I'm not going to a hospital. I had enough hospital." So we went on eating, and now I'm starting to bend over. The pain was so sharp. And he said, "Mary Ann, we got to go." And I didn't want to go. He literally dragged me off the chair and pulled me into the driveway. We got to Delray Medical again, and the doctor took blood work, and then he calls my husband to go into the hallway. And when he came back, I says, "What did he call you for?" And my husband looked like a funny look on his face. And he said, "If I didn't bring you in now, you would have been dead in 5 hours.
Whoa.
I said, "Why?" He said, "You're poisoned." I said, "How?" He said, "Your intestines burst open. And all the waste is going into your bloodstream, and you have no more white blood cells. Your body is exhausted trying to fight the poisoning." So I had to lay there for 2 weeks with intravenous antibiotics because they couldn't operate until the poison was out. Mm-hmm. And when the doctor told me about the procedure, he said, "Chances are you're going to have a colostomy bag." And I thought at
that
this
was,
point
Mary
in my
Ann,
life,
that was going to be lifelong.
I mean, that's a terrible burden to have every day,
right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Right. That was going to be lifelong. Right.
And so I had because he said that it's very hard to reconnect the colon to the end that I cut off. So after the surgery, I'm in the recovery room and the nurse sees that I'm starting to move. And she came over to me, and she says, "Are you waking up?" And I said, "Yes." She bends over and whispers in my ear, "You don't have a bag." Well, I started crying because a miracle
another
again.
Miracle.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
And so the doctor told me that we have 6 feet of large intestines, and he cut 2 feet of mine off because it was diseased with diverticulitis.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I managed somehow to mend and put it together and sewed it together. He said, "So you don't have a bag."
Wow.
And all I did was say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much."
Wow. Thank you, God.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, can you just understand why this woman had to tell her story?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Well, the miracles of the Lord here.
And Mary Ann, I've been journeying with the Lord for almost 50 years. And in the course of that, I've run into many people who've been blessed with healing from the Lord. And,
yes.
You know, in most of those, in the majority of those cases, they had one good moment of healing, which was enough, really, for them. But now you shared, you know, there was at least four stages along the way, at least we've heard so far, when you could have died from whatever was going on in your body.
Yes, I should have been dead 4 times already, and I just, like I said, celebrated my 77th birthday. But
wow.
I have, before any of these miracles, I was inspired. I have saved 5 people. One, my first husband, who I finally convinced, I brought him into a treatment hospital. He would have been dead. He wouldn't go, you know, because the liver was swelling. But I made arrangements ahead of time. I spoke to a doctor at a special hospital, And he said, no matter what time, day or night, bring him. And I finally convinced him. I told him, I lied to him and told him I was leaving. It was Saturday, and I'm leaving on Monday with the two boys. I'm having a moving company put all my all the furniture in storage, and then you can do what you want. And finally, he started crying and says, I don't want to lose my boys. He says, make arrangements. I said, they're all made. Get into the car.
Oh,
Marianne, I love that. Could I interject something?
Pardon?
Could I interject something?
Ed is asking you a question, Marianne.
I've been down this road, too, and been close to death a couple of times just recently and many other times in my life. And something the Lord has spoken to me about this whole situation and the reason he brought me through it. And I'm hearing the same thing about you. And it's a very simple statement. He said, it ain't about you.
Right. Amen.
It's about him.
You are being used as a tool for God to reach somebody that God has a special mission for.
Yeah.
And I can just feel that in my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank
Amen.
You. Yes,
Amen.
I have this feeling comes over me. I was working on a client in the salon, and she had cancer, and the doctors weren't doing anything. She and her husband was blind, and I said, I will take your wife, myself, on my day off to the Cleveland Clinic in West Palm Beach, because they kept telling her she has to feel better before they could treat her. And I said, were they going to wait till you die to treat, you know? And finally, we went to the Cleveland Clinic, and I saved her. Because the Cleveland Clinic said the doctors that were treating her were doing it all wrong, and she was certainly going to die.
Mm-hmm.
So I was working, and I hadn't seen her for a couple of months, and all of a sudden she comes into the salon, and she yells in front of all the people in the salon, this woman saved my life. And I freaked out. I'm trying to comb somebody's hair out, and she's hugging me and kissing me and crying, and everybody started crying. So there were many times that I've had to help people, and I've been helping people all my, I made that promise to Jesus. If you save me with this brain tumor, I will help people for the rest of my life.
And that's my job. That's what I do. What I think is really cool, though, and Marianne, is that, you know, you're serving, you just chose to serve the Lord and do what he would have you do.
Mm-hmm.
And then you bring these people to the Lord in prayer, and you touch their lives, and he will heal them. And we know it's him doing it.
Amen.
And he's using you. Isn't that amazing to know? God is using a common, you know, I'm a common man.
Yeah.
Everybody in this studio is a common man. Common in the sense, and we don't stand out really.
No.
Although Keith stands out often on the sidewalk.
On the street. Yeah,
on the street.
We're all the same.
It's humbling to know how much God will use us if we're willing.
Yeah.
And your story is one of a faithful woman of God. And I love that.
You know, I'm not a saint. You know, someone asked Christ, how is it that you choose these 12 disciples? Matthew is a tax collector. Mm-hmm. Somebody else is a thief or whatever. And he said, if they were perfect, they wouldn't need my help, would they?
That's right.
You know, I mean, we are all God's children, and we have to help each other.
Amen.
We do.
Tell you what, Marianne, let's take a quick break. It's about a two-minute break, and then we'll be back, okay?
All right.
Here we go. Know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day.
Here we go. We are back. We are back. I even cut in from the music. Sorry, listener. If you're liking to hear that music before we come back, I talked over it. I'm sorry. Anyway, we have Marianne Adelson with us today, who's shared a tremendous story of several healings from the Lord. Mm-hmm. Each one, if God had not moved, she would have died.
Yep.
You know, and there's no coincidences here, David, with the Lord, because it's no coincidence that I was in Publix at that time, and there was no coincidence that Marianne walked in behind me at that time. And, you know, it's just no coincidence. And just Psalm 24, verse 1 comes to mind. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it and all those that dwell therein.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and God's got us. God's got us. Whether you think he does or he doesn't, God's got you.
He does, and that's part of the story,
right?
Of the truth of God, and Marianne, I'm sure as you shared your story with others, I don't know how common it is when people hear a healing story, especially now this is a string of healing stories,
right.
is for them to wonder if they're worthy of receiving this grace.
Like I said, I'm not a saint. And
I know.
I only told you the facts of the healings.
Right.
I didn't tell you the dynamics of how I lived. I was homeless once for 3 weeks with my 3-year-old.
Mm. Wow.
My maternity clothes were bought at the Salvation Army.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I have been through much trauma, and I always said, I always talk to Christ. I always talk to God. Every day, as if he was sitting here with me, and the trauma and the turmoils that we all go through, we have to have courage and strength and have a strong faith, because if you think you're going to do something stupid to end all of it, think again, because right around the corner is a solution. So for those
Amen.
That are so depressed and feel that there's no hope, there's always hope, and I'm living proof of it.
Did you ever?
My body is like a science project.
I hear that.
Mine's more like a petri dish.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
I mean, I have glaucoma. I have 14 screws holding my neck together. Because I have degenerative disc disease. I broke my back shoveling snow. I have an artificial shoulder. I fell in the salon over a wire and smashed my shoulder. So I have an artificial shoulder. So, you know, the miracles that I discussed was just part of a long life of different things that unfortunately happened, but I'm still here, and it did not stop me from going forward.
Yeah.
It did not stop me. It will never stop me, because if I were to be stopped, I would have been dead a long time ago.
Amen.
He wanted me in the prison. A little Catholic Italian girl that wouldn't say a swear if I had a mouthful, and I end up in maximum security prisons and learned a whole new vocabulary.
Oh, yeah. You would. My dad was in the Navy, so I learned stuff early on. I had to unlearn it.
I spent 22 years in the Navy.
My mother would have washed my mouth out with soap if she ever heard half. You know, it's
been there, done that.
Yeah.
Been there, done that.
Something, the way you said, you spoke about your life at this point, Marianne, I want to point something out for our listeners, too, because... you're younger than I am, by the way. You're a little year and a few months younger than I am. So we've both been on planet Earth for a while. Ed, of course, has been on planet Earth even longer than we have. I won't mention how old he is, but he won't mention it a year after Jesus did from high school. So,
poor Ed.
I was a chief engineer on Noah's
boat. But here's something I need to point out, Marianne, and as you share your testimony. You probably would not have thought of the fact that you're a pure God-given humility is intertwined with your story. But I want to underscore this because so many people, I know unbelievers, people out there that hear these stories that we have, that you certainly have, of God showering us with grace, showering you with grace. And Ed and I, and Ann here too, and Keith, we all have the stories of our lives.
Amen.
Rich with those moments when God blessed us, when he healed us, he delivered us, you know, all those things. And yet, you know, we're still humble, imperfect human beings, and mm-hmm. we still have issues that we could go to God and say, hey, what do you take away my arthritis? Or I'd like to sleep a little better at night, Lord, you know, or whatever. But there, and I mentioned this, Mary Ann, because your story is not ego-driven. And I want people to hear this. I've known Christians, frankly, and you probably have too. Everyone in this room has heard Christians who seem to talk about their relationship with God through the language of entitlement.
Mm.
You
Amen.
Know, that, well, I deserve every uh-huh. bit of grace from God because I'm so wonderful.
Yep.
And because I chose to serve him, he should be excited about that. You know, there are people that have that attitude. Yep. I feel for them because they present a very poor image of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I just want to say, Mary Ann, and you probably have not thought of this, but one of the core characteristics of a believer who has a relationship with the Lord is that we're constantly amazed at when he pours grace in our life to heal us, deliver us, whatever we need. But, you know, you and I, you stand here, you got stuff, I got stuff.
Mm-hmm.
God may choose to pour out his grace to heal mm-hmm. that arthritis or that the back pains or whatever. But our story sustains us, and it sustains others when they hear it.
Yes.
I'm just thankful that you're willing to do that today.
And it encourages very much.
Very much
well,
so.
Very much so.
You're very welcome.
You know, that's so what are you doing now, Mary Ann? I mean, you're obviously talking to us, but I mean
okay.
I think you're a healthcare aide.
Well, I got divorced from my former husband, and just prior to the divorce, I saw the writing on the wall. And I went to a nursing school in Boca Raton,
wow.
and I brought my college transcripts. I did a lot of science, a lot of biology, anatomy, and everything. Mm-hmm. And I told them that I was thinking of becoming an RN. And they looked at my transcripts and said, I need about a year and a half. I need all the practicums, you know, mm-hmm. the emergency yep. room, learning
sure.
how to give needles and all this. And I could be, I could have a BSRN.
Wow.
And I was so exhausted from the bad marriage and so upset about, I had to call the police twice on him because I honestly, I was going to break his knees.
Mary Ann, you're awesome.
Yeah, you're
she is awesome.
You're definitely Italian.
She's strong in the Lord. She's strong in many ways.
And stand up for yourself. That's important. Yeah, wow.
Well,
remind me never to get you upset.
Well, you have to understand, I'm a small, petite woman, and I'm working yeah. with 2,000 felons in a prison.
Yeah.
Every 2 months, I had martial art training. And I had to protect my, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah,
sure.
They wouldn't see it coming. They would never think a small woman like me could break their nose or pull their eyeball. And I'm not a violent person either, but if you're trying to choke me or stab me, you're going to get all I can give you.
Amen, amen. You know, I would
so,
say
that. My former husband, I guess, was trying to egg me on because he knew that I had the training and I would be arrested if I hit him. So I just called 911 because he put his fist up to my face and that was the last straw.
Well, yeah.
So what I did was I decided instead of going to nursing school, which would take a year and a half, I settled for a nursing assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to school and I'm presently a CNA. And I do, I go to hospitals, I go to clinics, I go to rehab centers and homes, and I help people. And most people are much younger than me. They're mm-hmm. young enough to be my children, almost. But I help them, you know, I bathe them, I feed them, I do whatever they need to be done.
Well, you're an inspiration, Marianne. This is Anne. You are an inspiration. And there, I just want you to speak to our listeners. You have a calling, and you're living out your calling. We need to speak to our listeners who think that God has not called them to do something with their life.
Mm.
Can you speak into that?
Called,
yeah.
But no, not everybody listens.
Yep.
True. Yeah.
Free will.
They think that they're imagining, I'm supposed to do what? Why did I have that thought in my... I never in my life dreamed I'd be working in a maximum security prison. Oh, I forgot to tell you, when I first came to Florida, I worked for the state of Florida, DCF, the Department of Family and Children.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I was an investigator for child abuse and domestic violence. I really put myself in danger. I would go to people's homes and take children away if the parents were inappropriate. Sometimes I brought the police with me, though.
Good idea.
Well,
so you didn't hurt anybody?
No, they wouldn't like that. But I had the police, Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office, or if I were, you know, in an area where the town police were available, I would call them. I'd tell them to meet me at this address because there's violence in the home, and I don't want to get hit over the head with a frying pan or anything.
Yeah, you know? You're probably the only DCF operative that had orthopedic surgeons on speed dial. Wow.
But that kind of boldness that she has only comes from the Lord.
Amen. Yeah,
and lack of fear.
Amen.
It is.
You know?
But as I got older, you know, I came down here, I was 53, and I still thought I was 30. And I finally realized, you know what, I don't really have that much backup, so maybe I should be doing something else. So I only stayed a year, but I did take three children away and put them in foster homes. Because the mothers were, you know, drug addicts or inappropriate or whatever. And then I would get the social worker to get involved in it. Mm. But I only did it a year because I have grandchildren. It was just getting to me, so I had to stop.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
as you were sharing your story, Marianne, and I know that point before the first healing when you spoke to the Lord about how you would serve him if he moved in your life. And you have done that. And your whole life has been a testimony to serving the Lord by serving other people. But I think, Marianne, weren't the seeds of that heart, that helping heart, planted in you early before you even made that first deal with God? Weren't the servant's heart already there?
Yeah. My father used to get put a suit on every Sunday morning, and he and I would go to church to Mass. Mm-hmm. My brother wasn't born yet. My brother's 5 years younger than me. And so he, as much as he worked so hard and he drank, but come Sunday, he made it a point, just him and I would spend the morning together at church.
Wow.
So my father's the one that really instilled. You would think that my mother would have, but my mother was an obsessive compulsive problem, and they didn't know it in those days. And so my childhood was not a typical childhood, to say the least. So I sort of took my father and our father and Jesus as my guide. Because my mother was not able to help herself, so she couldn't help me.
I understand that. You and I have the same mother.
Mm.
But at any rate, that's sort of my part of my story. But I don't want to invade your story. But I just sensed, Marianne, that you and the Lord had a relationship before the first crisis of not just your physical.
I didn't tell you about the very first miracle. Maybe
we got time. Let's hear it.
Okay, we have to go back to when I was 5 years old, and it was one of those Sundays that I was in church with my father. That Friday before, you know, in those days, in the 50s and 60s, everyone used canned vegetables, No one right. used, you know, they would just open a can
really?
And serve yeah. dinner.
Wow.
And my mother had opened a can and threw it in the pail. And I went to get something I had left that I dropped in the pail, and I cut my finger on the can, the you know, the opening of the can. So I told my mom, I ran to my mother, and it's bleeding heavily, and she wrapped it in gauze and everything. Instead of taking me to get stitches, I think I should have had stitches. So it throbbed and hurt all weekend, and then here comes Sunday, and my dad said, we're going to go to church. I said, okay. So I'm sitting in the chair in the pew, and I'm at the kneeler when, you know, they ring the bell three times, and I said in my little voice, please, God, my finger really hurts. Would you heal it, please, for me? Mm. And then I just, you know, sat in the chair. And we're in the car now, we're going home, and it was itchy. My finger was, and so I'm unraveling the gauze that my mother, and my father looked over, he says, what are you doing? And I says, my finger is itchy, I want to take this off. He says, don't take that off, it's got to heal. And then he got distracted, he was driving, and of course, child doesn't listen, and I kept unwrapping it. And when I took the gauze off, you're not going to believe this.
We will.
There was pink skin where the cut was.
Wow!
Wow!
How could that heal in an hour? Will you tell me?
Grace. The word is
Amen.
Grace.
There was
Amen.
New skin.
Yeah.
There was no longer a gash, a cut. There was new skin. There was no more oozing, no more bleeding.
Wow.
It was healed. This is the first time I've ever told anybody, because nobody would even believe it. They would think that I made it up as a child. I did not make it up.
And
my mother, in her sickness, didn't even bother to notice I didn't have the gauze on anymore.
Well,
you know, but
wow.
I mean, that was my, I knew there was something different about me. I knew it.
Yeah.
I just had a feeling. I felt like there was somebody watching over me, or a shadow over me, or mm-hmm. something.
Holy Spirit.
I can't explain it to you.
Holy Spirit watching over you.
And God heals today.
God heals today.
Hey, some people say he doesn't heal anymore. God heals today.
And that's really your story, Marianne.
That's right. Yes.
And I'm hoping.
I hope that I touched or reached someone out there who is depressed or financially or mm-hmm. physically hurting. You're not alone. And it will get better. It will get better.
It will. And
amen.
And I think the pivot point here, Marianne, because we all share a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the cutting edge difference. That is that even as a 5-year-old, you had a sense of the Lord.
Amen.
And that you knew you could ask him. Mm. And you didn't expect a guarantee, but he did answer that prayer and several others after that. But this is, if you're listening right now, and you know we're not gonna beat you over the head if you don't have a relationship with Jesus. We're not gonna do that because that's judgmental. We're not supposed to judge. But what you've heard today in Marianne's story is here is someone that she knows the Lord. She knows to go to Him personally, to ask Him for whatever His will is for her.
Yeah.
Which was to save her, to physically restore her from keep her from death, at least four times. Probably more you don't know about, but this is what we hope you will hear, listener, especially if you don't know the Lord, is this is an opportunity today, right now, in the hearing of the truth of one person's life in Christ, and to know how much He has showered her with grace, and to know, listener, that you hunger for that. You have a deep and heartfelt desire to just know the Lord, to receive whatever graces He has for you today. And to have that intimate relationship with Him.
Yep.
And that we don't deserve it. He's chosen to allow us to have it anyway because He loves us so much.
Amen.
Yes.
So,
Amen.
And I, you know, we're not quite ready to go off. We have about 12 minutes to 11 minutes, Marianne.
You know, David, Jeremiah 33:3, the first verse, it says, call to me and I will answer you.
Mm-hmm.
And He does that. You know, you have to know that the Lord will answer you when you call out to Him.
Yes.
Amen.
And Psalm 145, call out to me in truth, and I will answer you. right? Yeah. So God is letting us know, if you don't read the Bible, God is letting us know that he is there, that he will answer you, and that he will come to you with an earnest heart, just Amen. Seeking him.
Mm-hmm. And you know, when the devil loves to tell people they don't deserve his grace.
Right, right.
Well, none the truth is, you know, we don't deserve, mm-hmm. we none don't deserve his grace.
Right, none are righteous.
But what the devil won't tell you is that God has chosen mm-hmm. to give you every bit of grace that you need
Amen.
For every day.
Amen.
And it's God's choice.
Yep.
And he's chosen for you to be deserving.
Amen.
He's chosen for you to be the recipient
Amen.
Of his love.
Amen.
And Marianne, you definitely have a great story of telling us about the God who continues.
Marianne, you should put it in a book form. Have you done that?
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I'm looking for an author. You only heard a little portion of my life, and I really believe that
just a little portion. Okay, Marianne, if you're willing, I'm a journalist. I will put that together for you.
You would?
Yeah, I'm a writer, journalist.
Oh my goodness! I've talked to three authors, mainly in New York, and they want like $20,000 up front. And I said, I want somebody that I can sit down with and talk, because I get so emotional about what has happened. And I'm not even talking about what I discussed today. There were times when I thought I was really going to be killed. And mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. so I need for young people, especially women, young Amen. Women, to read my life story and learn a lesson from it. I've been trying for years to find an author.
Well, I feel like this is an open door, because Absolutely. I just kept hearing, ask Absolutely. Her about a book. Ask Absolutely. Her about
yes.
a book.
Yes.
So.
And she lives around the block from me. She's about 10 minutes away. 5 minutes away, actually,
awesome.
Marianne, right? 5 minutes? Yeah. About 5 minutes? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see where the Lord takes that.
Yeah.
That'll
Absolutely.
Be a whole nother program.
Well.
You know, when we interview you after the book's published.
Wonderful.
Right? No coincidences with the Lord,
no.
right? This is how God works.
Now, you know, we have to make it into a story, not a biography, because I'd have to mention people and they'll sue me.
Marianne, you don't have to worry about that right
don't
now.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
We'll talk details later, however the Lord leads.
Yes.
Yeah, but I think that's the next step. I think God will really be a
blessing. But she needs to
blessing.
Put this in a book form.
Yep. Really.
Yeah, the amount
of... The authors told me, she said, are you familiar with 50 Shades of Grey? And I said, yes, I haven't read it, but I've heard about it.
Uh-uh.
She said, your life needs about three books. Not one. And she said, I couldn't put it all in one book. So I want to warn you ahead of, I don't even know your name. I don't know your name. The woman.
Anne has your name? Anne has your phone number, and she'll be
in
touch
A-N-N.
With you.
Anne, thank you, Anne. Yeah.
Wow. Well, this is really cool. God opens all kinds of doors.
This is something I've been praying for, to use my writing for the Lord.
Wow. Before I die, I want to have someone learn a lesson from the experiences that I've had that brought me all the way to Delray Beach. It's such a story. They could make a couple of movies out of me. Really. I'm not kidding.
Well, someone might. You know, the faith-based movie aspect
all
is growing.
All for God's glory. Yes.
All for God's glory.
Open the doors.
I think we just witnessed another miracle.
Yeah.
I think we did. Yes. God is not done doing miracles. And you're I tell you, Marianne, yet another delight that I have in having you on the air with us today, and a delight we all share.
Thank you very much.
But it's the people, there are people out there, and some are believers, or so they say, who don't believe that God does miracles today. And I'm not going to mention denominational names, but they're out there. We call them cessationists, and they're very hot on the topic of after the last apostle died.
Right.
That all the miracles ceased.
Right.
Now, frankly, I don't know what hole they're living in, because the truth is so evident that in the stories that people are willing to share, like you, that God continues to pour out, and I mean pour out, healing grace, guiding grace, delivering grace, whatever his people need. Because God is a God of abundance, not a God of scarcity. And your story, I mean, it's awesome. And when I hear your story, when we hear your story, we're giving God the glory.
Amen.
Yeah.
Because he did it.
I want to offer anyone who, I counseled. I'm a counselor. And if there's anyone out there that really needs to talk to someone, I wouldn't mind if you gave them my phone number. And I would be more than happy to talk to them.
Well, if you're willing, I can share it right now. I have it in front of me.
Live, yeah.
I don't want you to I don't want you to broadcast.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
All right. Okay.
But if somebody calls,
if somebody were to call,
I
hear.
I get enough spam. They want to, give me a new roof, new windows.
I hear you. Well, we're gonna cancel the billboards then.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
We won't do that. But no, I think.
But
I
appreciate
that.
But you should say
that.
It again if somebody wants to call and speak.
If someone is in a way or a position or a state of mind that they are thinking evil or bad, do something to themselves or someone else, or they have no hope of getting out of a problem, I'd be more than happy to talk to them because there is no problem that God can't solve.
Amen.
But there is something that you're not thinking of that I will make you aware of. That's I will help you help yourself. Is what I'm trying to tell you. I did that with my profession.
Amen.
And,
okay. Yeah.
I, most of my Facebook people are former felons. I have to tell you that.
Well, you do travel in interesting company.
They write to me all the time. They're doing wonderfully.
Yeah. Right. Change lives through the Lord.
I still have some friends from Union Correctional. I was a chaplain on death row years ago, and I still I still get correspondence from some of them.
Wow.
Oh, were you in corrections?
I was a chaplain,
okay. So you heard everything, too.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Everything more than
and
once.
And then some.
Yeah, really? Well, we will. What we'll do is, listeners, if you do want to make a connection, you can call the station. And the number here at the radio station is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. You also know our website, WCNO.com. You go to the website. It's got all the contact information for us. And if you want us to connect you with Marianne, that's all you got to do, and we'll be happy to do that.
Yeah, just have them mention when they call me that they heard me on the radio, so I won't think it's a spam call.
There you go. Yes, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, do identify that, because otherwise I wouldn't listen to you either if you called me with just out of the blue.
Yeah, I don't think the station reaches Delhi. India. So if you get one of those calls, it wasn't us.
Yeah, right. Yeah. If they don't sound like English was their first language.
There you go.
But then maybe not, because we have
people. We do have a lot of.
Have people listening in whose English is not their first language.
That's right.
And
right.
Some of
God
them may be touched.
Them.
I'm used to all accents, believe me.
Oh, I'll bet.
Well.
We are almost out of time, and I say that we
incoming.
We can't answer that call because the phone pot's tied up, and they shouldn't be doing that anyway. But Marianne, thank you again for being willing to share your story with us.
Oh, you're very welcome. And I want to thank Keith for taking the time to talk to me at Publix. Because he's helping me do what I would want to do.
Amen.
You know, to be able to give my testimony. Thank you, Keith. I really appreciate it.
It's been great, Marianne. It's been wonderful. You're terrific.
You
Amen.
Are, and you're.
Amen.
Thank you.
We consider you a member of the family now.
Amen.
So.
Oh boy! Thank you.
We can't mention you in the will, but other apart from. But apart from that, and
can't mention you in the world.
But I promise you that we're going to be talking again and have you back on the program, especially
Fine.
After.
Great.
And we're going to do it via Zoom, so we can take calls.
Yeah, as long as you.
I'll have to put my makeup on.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
I would love to see you.
I'm a makeup artist, you know, part of cosmetology.
Well, only we're
doesn't surprise me.
Only we're going to see your, because in the studio, Everyone yes. else would just be hearing your voice. But at any rate, thank you so much, Marianne. We're going to have to say goodbye to everybody.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you, Marianne. Thank you for sharing.
Here we
go. Thank you,
Ann. Thank you. Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front line.